Hello and welcome to this new edition of Viewpoints. My name is Boris Chassaigne. I'll be with you for the next half hour. On today's Viewpoints, a teenager from Brooklyn, Nova Scotia had his wish granted, and he takes his for a ride.
He only really made his wish in November, once he finally decided, so this happened fast.
Lots of things going on Cortes Island off the BC coast, where a rural mushroom business dreams big.
Love this place. It's so beautiful and peaceful and seems to be a great place for fungi and mushrooms to grow and beautiful forest. So I was really getting tired of the city or even being near the city. So I just got away from the city and moved here about 2 years ago.
Pontiac country musician Eldon Ostrom recently released an album to celebrate his 50 years in the country music scene with Me and My Boys, a two-disc compilation featuring dozens of classic tunes and one song with his son Sheldon, who passed away.
His thing in life was country music. He knew all the facts on everybody, their birth dates, where they were born, how many CDs they made, everything. He was just like a fountain of youth of country music.
And sometimes sports can bridge cultures. Indigenous youth are building a name for themselves on the rugby field.
Indigenous rugby does have strong indigenous roots throughout the world. The Maori, the New Zealand All Blacks, their haka, and Fiji and Samoa.
This and more on Viewpoints.
Follow us on Twitter at CanadaLJI. Listen to all our news online at canada-info.ca.
So after toiling away in North Vancouver, Farid Zahir moved to Cortes Island to escape the city. He brought with him a passion to grow mushrooms, an ambition to do it commercially. Farid Zahir now sells his fresh mushrooms such as lion's mane, maitake and shiitakes at the local market. He also supplies a couple of restaurants on the island. He's also working to develop dehydrated products which can ship off Cortes Island easily. Self-taught in science, clinical experimentation, and research of mushrooms and their applications, Zahir hopes to make significant gains in 2022 as he focuses on producing specific products easy to distribute around the small island with plans for moving beyond. Our journalist Greg Osoba speaks with Farid Zahir about the challenges and triumphs of developing a small business in a rural setting.
Opening a small business anywhere is never easy, never mind on a rural BC island with only 1,000 year-round residents. That hasn't daunted Farid Zahir, who moved to Cortes Island a couple of years ago with a dream: grow mushrooms for local consumption and ship them to Vancouver Island and mainland Vancouver.
I was very passionate about mushrooms. Like, my first time trying to grow them was a success and made me feel very great about doing it. And I just, ever since my first mushroom got pinned out, I kept on growing and trying new techniques and different methods. Just been a journey since then.
The self-taught citizen scientist became fascinated with mushrooms during his last couple of years of high school in North Vancouver. So what drew Zahir to Cortes Island?
I had some friends here who I knew over the years, and they invited me over for a few times over the last 4 years, and I kept visiting, and I really love this place. It's so beautiful and peaceful, and seems to be a great place for fungi and mushrooms to grow and beautiful forest. So I was really getting tired of the city or even being near the city. I really was desiring to get away. So I just got away from the city and moved here about 2 years ago.
With a move to Cortes Island a couple of years ago, intent on pursuing his interest in creating a mushroom cultivation business, Zahir says there are two components covering specific elements. He names them live spore and fung isle.
Live spore is the more hands-on applied scientific company that I intend to later on expand on once I have more capital to invest into it. Fungi is more a distribution channel, which is like turning products into value-added products, like my final harvest of mushrooms. I do sell my mushrooms fresh at the market and grocery stores and to restaurants, but I'm realizing being on a faraway island, the transportation of fresh mushrooms becomes a challenge. So I realized that I have to turn my mushrooms into other products, such as like simple things like tinctures are some products that are more basic, but specific specifically, I'm focused on products like mushroom jerky, smoked and jerking the mushrooms that are, so they're dehydrated and preserved and lightweight, so and easily packaged and preserved for a long time. That'd be very easy to ship off of the island and distribute Canada-wide.
Through his own research and experiments, Zaire has developed techniques for cultivating sought-after mushrooms, recognized for their health benefits.
I've learned to be able to clone and cultivate mushrooms with bare minimum, like just like a little pressure canner and a little plastic tote that I can turn into a glove box is like more than enough for me to isolate a clone from a wild mushrooms. And like, for example, I have a clone of a maitake mushroom that was grown in East Vancouver under an oak tree, which is unheard of in BC. Like, over the last 10 years, hasn't been really recorded that that mushroom grows here. But that was a found. Somebody found that and brought it into an exhibition at Vancouver Mycological Society, and I was there, so I asked them to, if it's possible for me to take a clone, and I cloned it. And it's been with me for about 4 years. It was very difficult to, like, I never had any success growing it into fruiting stage, but I kept trying. And finally, once I got to Cortez last year, I got my first harvest of it. And it's just the most amazing mushroom. It really helps with blood sugar balance, just very good for immune system. It's a highly prized mushroom in Japan.
Though recent ongoing mainstream scientific research indicates potential benefits from using psychoactive or psychedelic mushrooms to treat conditions such as PTSD, addiction, and depression, Zaire focuses on promoting the consumption of fungi for overall health.
I'm not very familiar, to be honest, with treatments and medical treatments using mushrooms. I just, as like a mushroom cultivator, and I've also studied holistic nutrition. So like, for me, food is medicine, and I think eating healthy and incorporating a diverse variety of different mushrooms or anything really in our diet can help being healthy and having a great mindset.
Beyond food and health options for humans, Zaire says mushrooms have the potential for other applications, such as mitigating the effect of damaging toxins in the local environment.
That's actually something that really fascinates me. And we started a small project here on Cortez Island last year where I offered making mushroom patches or mushroom myceliated burlap sacks that are fully colonized with mycelium of either oyster mushrooms or King Strepharia are two varieties that I suggested for that project. And by placing these burlap sacks of fully white mycelium, which is like a network that is endless, the way of gray water, for example, or farm application would be like agricultural runoff areas where there's a lot of, like, if it rains and there's a lot of manure that could like leach in and get into waterways and end up in lakes and rivers, then that would be a problem because it can, the phosphorus and nitrogen in manure and just agricultural waste, even gray water and other heavy metals are like really bad for the lakes and can cause algae blooms. Specifically, phosphorus and nitrogen can cause algae blooms, but placing mycelium in the way of this waterway can help prevent the buildup because the mycelium can pick up the phosphorus and nitrogen and turn it into other things. So it's a very effective way of preventing algae blooms in lakes.
Zaire notes that the process for getting a niche business takes time, but he feels like he's gaining ground and is optimistic for 2022 as he stays steadfast on research, production, and distribution.
This season, I'll have to see how much I can expand, but I'm definitely planning on expanding beyond our island to the rest of the Vancouver Island, and hopefully my products will be on the shelves in different health food stores and all the way to Vancouver. That's my goal for this year.
Hi, I'm Pamela Hassan in Smithers, British Columbia. You are listening to Viewpoints.
A teenager from Brooklyn, Nova Scotia just had his wish come true. And 18-year-old Kiefer Uskins is taking his for a ride off the beaten path. He received a stockpile of new off-road parts to customize his Jeep through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. His parents got things organized while Kiefer was in hospital undergoing treatment for osteosarcoma a couple of years ago. That's the same cancer that claimed the leg and life of Terry Fox. Kiefer Uskins is still clear of cancer. Ed Halverson has this story.
A teenager from Brooklyn just had his wish come true. 18-year-old Kiefer Huskins received a stockpile of new off-road parts to customize his Jeep through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Kiefer's mother, Kim, says the family learned about the Make-A-Wish program when Kiefer was in hospital undergoing treatment for osteosarcoma, the same cancer that claimed the leg and life of Terry Fox. Kim says 2 years post-chemotherapy and still clear of cancer, it took some time for Kiefer to settle on what he wanted.
He only really made his wish in November once he finally decided, so this happened fast.
Kiefer says he knew the wish had been granted, but his parents kept the date of the event a surprise.
I didn't know anything. I kept texting her, asking her if they said anything, but she said yesterday that we have to wait till next week, so it was pretty exciting coming home and seeing all this.
Kiefer arrived home from school Tuesday to discover a mountain of parts surrounded by representatives from Dartmouth Dodge, the Nova Scotia Jeep Club, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and many of his friends. Kiefer's father, Kerwin, says his son is a hands-on kind of guy, and this wish is right up his alley.
The offer was there for Dartmouth Dodge to put the, you know, all this accessories on, and he would hear nothing of it. He wanted to do it himself.
Father and son will spend the next few weekends tricking out Kiefer's 2009 Jeep JK with a new light bar, running boards, bumpers, winch, soft top, and other accessories. Janice Beaton, the Atlantic Wish coordinator with Make-A-Wish Foundation, says most often kids want to take a trip, but COVID has forced the organization to think outside the box.
We haven't been able to do any kind of travel for the last 2 years, which is definitely bringing out the creativity in both our staff and our families and our Wish kids.
The Make-A-Wish Foundation grants wishes to kids aged 3 to 17, usually based on referrals from hospitals. Beaton says the organization is currently working on granting 70 wishes in Nova Scotia and 250 across the four Atlantic provinces. While Kiefer may have his next few weekends booked, he's also looking ahead to his future once he graduates this spring.
I'm going to King's Tech for carpentry and then business after that, because I do carpentry now, so that's what I plan on doing.
In the meantime, he also plans to spend time on the trails, putting his Jeep through its paces. I'm Ed Halverson.
None of your places gonna salute y'all. Join hands, go hippity scoot. Now break and swing with your left hand all swinging with the bell and the ball. Now promenade eight all over the hall, English, Irish, Scotch and all. Now first couple swinging the set. Swinging a set and down the center, go cut off six.
Well, Pontiac country musician Eldon Ostrom recently released an album to celebrate 50 years in the country music scene. The album, entitled Me and My Boys, includes two discs and features dozens of classic tunes from George Strait to Ottawa Valley legend Mac Beattie, as well as several square dances and breakdowns. Ostrom wanted to put out an album for quite a while and figured that 50 years of performing would be a good milestone to commemorate. Ostrom grew up in a musical family and from the age of 9 was performing in hotels around the region with his family band, the Bryson Aries. He said that the name of the album comes from his two sons, Sheldon and Kenny. Ostrom explained that Sheldon, who tragically passed away in 2017 at the age of 27, was an enormous country music fan and had an encyclopedic memory for facts about his favorite musicians. Two songs of the album feature old recordings of Sheldon singing that have been restored, including the duet Murder on Music Row. Caleb Nickerson in Pontiac, Quebec, had a long chat with Ostrom. Part of it is here and the rest on canada-info.ca.
All right, so we're here with Bryson country musician Eldon Ostrom. Eldon, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you today, Caleb?
I'm well, thank you. All right, so can you tell us a little bit about the making of this, your new album here? I understand it commemorates a very big anniversary for you.
Yes, it is. I've played music in a country band for the last 50 years. And last February the 12th of 2021, I was 50 years playing music in a country band. So I decided that I wanted to just do a CD for my own personal liking, you know what I mean? Just to say that I did one. And it started as a small project and it ended up as a really, really big one. We play a lot of dances around the Pontiac and Ontario side. We've played a lot at the Bryson Lions Club in Bryson. And And my father was the caller in the original band I was in called the Brysonaires. He was the square dance caller. And after he passed, I took it up. My wife mentioned to me, she said, why don't you put some square dancing on there? So that's how I ended up. It started as a small project, ended up as a big project, and ended up being a double CD of 41 tracks, 33 classic country songs, and four sets of square dancing.
Awesome. And 50 years, that's a crazy amount of time. Could you talk a little bit about what it was like growing up sort of in the music scene in the Valley here?
Like, my family was all musical, so the original band that I belonged to, it started somewhere in the early 50s, and it featured my dad. My dad was a square dance caller and piano player. My uncle Lloyd Ostrom, he played fiddle, and his son Brent played guitar. The way I started was in 1971. I was 9 years old, and I started when the hotel scene was on. There was live music in the hotels, of course, and of course I was underage. The rule was, as long as I was with the band and I was up on stage, if it was ever hotel was ever raided, I couldn't be evicted because I was there to entertain. That was my start in the hotel scenes back in the 70s, and we've been playing for old time dances there since 1976. So we've seen a lot of people come and go. And now I belong to another band over in Renfrew. It's called Dennis Harrington and Heritage Country. We play a lot all over the Pontiac, but in Ontario.
And the name of your album here, it's Me and My Boys. Could you explain a little bit behind the meaning behind that?
I have two boys. I had two boys. Unfortunately, my oldest boy was autistic. His name was Sheldon. And I lost him very suddenly 5 years ago. He was age 27. Lost him very suddenly to a massive heart attack. His thing in life was country music. He knew all the facts on everybody, their birth dates, where they were born, how many CDs they made, everything. He was just like a fountain of youth of country music. And so he sort of took after me. And then I have another son, Kenneth, which is just the total opposite. He likes, he works with the backhoe and he works on construction and everything. But I always said if I had ever did a CD, I would like to call it Me and My Boys, because I would like to include it to my two boys.
And so they have there's specific tracks, I understand, on the album that are sort of dedicated to them each individually. Could you talk about those?
Yes, my son that was autistic, we have taken him to Nashville about four or five times, I imagine. And 1 year that we went, on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry, if you went in the early afternoon, you could pay $10 and record a song on stage with the Grand Ole Opry band on that famous stage. So Sheldon chose the song He Stopped Loving Her Today, a George Jones classic with a recitation in it. And like when I started my CD, I had that. Even though he has passed, I wanted to include that on my album. A lot of people knew that he was very talented in memory-wise of country music artifacts, but a lot of people didn't know that he could sing. So I've included him on there on that one. And also there's a song on there called Murder on Music Row, which was a song written by Alan Jackson and George Strait. And when we went out to play music, when Sheldon came with me, he did the part of Alan Jackson and I did the part of George Strait. I just recently moved from Bryson to Cuyo after the passing of my mom. I wanted to move closer to my son here in Cuyo, Kenneth. So when I was cleaning out the house to move, I found a cassette tape just marked Sheldon 2008. And I was almost like afraid to play it, sort of thing. But I did play it, and it was Sheldon and I singing that song Murder on Music Row and me playing guitar. So anyway, cassettes are kind of distorted, you know, they're wobbly and everything. So I brought it to my producer, Rennie Corrigo at the Island, Calumet Island, that produced the CD. He sent the track away to someone in Australia that cleared up all the background noise and made it crystal clear. And when it did come back, the track, I swear he was standing right beside me. It was that clear.
Nobody saw him right from 50th Avenue. They never found the fingerprint. All of that was you. But someone killed time trade music. Girl, how his heart and soul they got away with birth. Down on Music Row.
I know it's going to be 5 years this August since we lost him, but I always wanted to try to keep his memory alive. A lot of people knew he was very much a genius in country music artifacts, but they didn't know he could sing. And this was really a way that I could get to express, you know, anyone that did buy the CD will hear him and know the story.
Yeah, that's great. And so... This album, you said it's sort of just square dancing and old time country. Have you ever considered branching out into maybe even other genres within country itself? Or
no, not really, Caleb. Like, I mean, I grew up in that era where it was the old classic country music, like the Merle Haggard and the George Jones and Tammy Wynette and stuff like that. And our band always. I did venture out to anything like the modern country music today. We always stayed with the classics and kept on to keep the square dancing alive.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, for sure.
That's right. Yes. And yes. Like I said, it's something that I wanted to do. And, like I guess I've been known around the Pontiac. I've played a lot around here and, something I wanted to do when I turned 50 years of playing country music, and that's how it come to be. And I have a lot of my favorite songs on there, so I hope the listeners enjoy it.
You're on the air with Viewpoints. Follow us on Twitter at CanadaLJI.
So when you think of rugby, you might picture bulky, sweating athletes in a huddle, battling for an audience of devout fans. But have you considered the culture of rugby, its roots, and the history of Indigenous excellence in the sport across the globe? John Lyle, program director at Thunder Rugby in Victoria, BC, thinks that both of those ideas are equally important when working with youth. John Lyle has been with the Thunder Rugby team since 2013, and as program director, he is responsible for coordinating selection camps for the Thunder. The selection camp was held this January in White Rock, BC, and young players between the ages of 14 to 18 years old came from across the province to test their skills, meet with other rugby players, and participate in cultural learning. And anyone who is chosen to play with the Thunder will have the opportunity to go to New Zealand in the fall in support of the Canadian women's rugby team at the World Cup. Pamela Hasen spoke with John Lyle. Rugby taught him to respect culture, and he wants to pass that on to the next generation.
My name is John. I'm the director of Thunder Rugby. My family has roots from Kwakwaka'wakw, Northern Vancouver Island.
Can you tell me, John, why is it important to introduce rugby to Indigenous youth?
Well, I think any type of activity or sport is important to you know, introduce to all youth. I've played rugby for all my life, and I've had, you know, a great time. It's a sport where you make, you know, friends for life. And I'm also, you know, a proud Indigenous Kwakwaka'wakw member. So I sort of noticed Indigenous rugby in Canada isn't, you know, it's what I'd call a fringe sport. It does have strong Indigenous roots throughout the world. The Maoris and the New Zealand All Blacks, their Haka and the Fiji and Samoa. So it seemed to me that something that, you know, maybe we could spend some time and try to introduce this great sport to our Indigenous communities.
How far-reaching is the pull of the Thunder? Do you get applications from all over? Is it only for British Columbian youth that want to get involved in rugby, or is it can kids from Alberta apply as well?
Well, it's a good question. We started off being the Vancouver Island Thunder because that's. Then what we, as you're right, we started getting applications from our first applications from Ontario, Mohawk community. We've had, you know, people join us from Calgary and all over BC. It's primarily from BC, but we do get some from across the country as well. And we identified youth that may want to participate and join us on our tour to New Zealand. We focus on Indigenous youth, but you know, we wouldn't say no to any kid that wants to join us. Our goal is to be going to New Zealand in October of 2022, which is this October, to coincide with the Rugby World Cup.
This ends this edition of Viewpoints, a program produced by the Local Journalism Initiative and presented by the Community Radio Fund of Canada in collaboration with campus and community radios across the country. You can listen to all our programs on canada-info.ca and also tune in to all the stories produced by our journalists working across the country in British Columbia, Ontario, Quebec, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick. Their radio pieces are posted there on a daily basis. They allow us to discover Canada and our local communities from different perspectives. Thanks to our journalists Caleb Nickerson, Ed Alverson, Pamela Hasen, and Craig Osoba and their guest, and also to Maureen McEwen, our national news coordinator. Thanks to the artists who grace us with their music. I'm Boris Chassin. Thanks for being with us. Goodbye.